Hello, thank you for being here to learn about Bitachon today. It is the second of Menachem Av, Beis, that's Tufshin Pei Dalid, also August 6th, 2024. And I'm going to say it now and also repeat it at the end, B'nai Neder, that we're not learning next week because it is Tisha B'Av. And today we're learning for Zechus, for Refuah Shleima, for Chaim David Ephraim Ben Chana, Uriel David ben Yocheved, Elisheva Esther bas Shifra Nechama. And I was thinking over the last weeks and months how this is a process and a journey to try to arrive at acceptable, satisfactory levels of emunah and bitachon, to have yishuv of das, and to not feel anxiety, or at least to have it in control, and to be able to channel it, and to harness it, and to work through it properly. And then I realized it's absolutely time to learn the next shar in the Archa of Tzaddikim, which is Baruch Hashem, what we're up to just in the nick of time. And that's called the Shar HaDaga. Because if I'm trying to plant crops and cultivate soil and come up with a satisfactory, hopefully more than that, crop, I need to weed out what is detrimental to the growth of those crops. And that vegetation and those weeds are the midos ra'os, the negative ones when they're used negatively that work against us. And daga, worry, is definitely the premier opponent to bitachon, as the Aruch HaTzaddikim tells us right now. Hada'aga, worry, zos hamida, this personality trait. And it's called a mida, as we've said many times, a measure when it's used in the wrong measure. And at the wrong times and for the incorrect purposes, he ra berov in yonaha. It is negative. It is evil, he said, in most of its matters, most of its subject matter, most of its inclinations are detrimental. They are negative. He says ra, which is really not good at all. He nikeres al kol hapanim, and it is recognizable on all faces, meaning that if a person is worried, we can often see it on the person's face. Kedachsiv, as it is written, now Bereshis Mem Vav is Parshas Vayeshev in the end, where Yosef sees the Sar HaOfim and the Sar HaMashkim, or the Ofe and the Mashke, different interpretations, who exactly they were, but they were in jail, and those two officials, the one in charge of the beverages for the king, and the one who was in charge of the baking, Bayar Osam, and he saw them, Behinam Zoafim, and they were Zoafim. He saw them, and they were Zoafim. That was Yosef's impression. What is Zoafim? Rashi explains, Atzevim. He saw them, and they were depressed, says the Aruch HaTzaddikim, and we know they had had these dreams that were disturbing. Therefore, we see that when a person is depressed and worried, it is recognizable on the person's face. So what? That's neither here nor there, is it? Why does he even mention that? If it's not a good trait, it's not a good trait. If we have to weed our fields from it, if we have to get rid of the thorns from the vineyard, which is the thorns of anxiety and worry, okay, but who cares if it's recognizable on the face? Many answers to that. First of all, we know, as the Bali Musar say, our face is a Rishus HaRabim. It is public domain, and it is contagious. So a smile is contagious. A laugh is contagious. Positivity and optimism is contagious. And that is what we want to spread. Not Bayar of some Behinam Zoafim, not faces of depression and sadness and anxiety and apprehension. That is not the type of germ that we want to spread. So it is very significant that it is recognizable, the keres I'll call upon him, because it brings other people down. Now, some people are thinking as they hear this, I'm going to hang up now because I can't help it sometimes. So wait, just give me a chance before you hang up. We know that already, and that's true. Okay, but we have to try to work on it and work through it. I'm talking to myself here only. So my face is important. How it looks and it spreads to others. And also it works from the outside in, as we've seen again for at least the 24th time, probably. Adam Nifal Kafifa Ulosav says the the Sefer HaChinuch and Parshas Bo. A person is formed according to his or her actions. If I go around with a face that is gloomy, that also works on my insides, from the outside in, and the Mesilas Yesharim tells us, Kitzonios Me'oros Pnimios, a negative countenance, a sad face, will also affect me adversely. So it is significant for myself. Also, sometimes people say, why do I have to do all this for other people? Well, by the way, we are here to be givers, but it's more than that. What about myself? Okay, I'll be a little spiritually selfish here. It's not good for me to look worried and to look depressed. Uchasiv says the Orcha Tzadikim, Nechemya Beis Beis. And I'll tell you a little bit about the background here. Very apropos for the 9 days, as you'll see. Ma'adua panecha ro'im. Why does your face look so terrible? And you're not ill. You're not even sick. Oh, I said to myself, oh boy, is that relevant to me, because I know what Hashem has saved me from, continues to protect me from, and there's no reason whatsoever to look sad after the miraculous recoveries, and I'm talking about big time plural form, that I've seen myself and other people have also. We're talking about illnesses that Hashem saves us from. He sends teams of doctors, nurses, assistants, lab techs to help us. Madu panecha roim. If you're not sick, why do you look so miserable? You're healthy. Ba'ata enecha chola. Who said it to whom? We look in the Sefer Nechemya. In Sefer Nechemya ben Chachalya, and it's in Perek Beis, Pasuk Beis. So Nechemya, we know that he was one of the leaders of the Second Commonwealth, the building of the Second Beis HaMikdash. He brought wine to the king Daryavesh, who was called Artaxasta also. And Nechemya was upset. He was sad. He had a full right to be sad. Why was anybody sad at the time of Nechemya? Of course they were depressed. It was about the Churban of Yerushalayim. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. It's the 9 days. Of course they're depressed. He looks sad. And the king says, boy, this guy doesn't look very good today. He recognized the sadness on the face of Nechemya, and he said, why do you look so terrible? That shows you that it's recognizable on a person's face. Now we're saying to ourselves, well, he's depressed because the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. That makes sense. But on the other hand, the king, who could be slightly paranoid, could be worried about some kind of plot against him. Maybe people around him aren't being pleasant toward him. Maybe they're thinking of doing away with him. Who knows what? What is the Orcha Tzadikim telling us? Is he criticizing Nechemya for being depressed about the Beis HaMikdash, about Tisha B'Av? That's something to be criticized about? How could you indict somebody? How could you condemn somebody for being sad about the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed? True. The only thing is that it was recognizable on his face. The Orcha Tzadikim is not criticizing Nechemya. He's telling us that worry and sadness is apparent on a person's face. And that's why Artaxasta, or Daryavesh, said to him, Madua panecha roim. Why does your face look so terrible? V'ato ein chachola. And you're not even ill. Now, what do we take out of this? I'll take out of this for myself. If I am physically not ill, Baruch Hashem, like my doctor would say, oh, this and this, oh, this is stable, you know, about certain things. You're stable, oh, Baruch Hashem, you know. Then, Madua panecha roim, there's no reason to look sad or to feel depressed. It's miracles we're living with. What about Tisha B'Av? What about the Beis HaMikdash? We won't get into the laws of the 9 days and about Tisha B'Av and about looking sad, but there is an element of positivity that runs through every second of life and every breath we take. Look in the second parak of Eicha, in the Pirush of the Palgemayim, written by the Nesivos HaMishpat. It's in the Old Mikros Gedolos, in Devarim, in Eicha. And he looks at Eicha, parts of it, big chunks of it. And he says, Yirmiyahu HaNavi was mourning, was lamenting. Yeah, but he was actually bringing out the positive in the Churban. How Hashem loves us, Hashem saved us. We're still here. If we're sitting here learning and talking, we're healthy enough to do it. We have hope. If we have emotional illness and emotional issues, then we have the tools to hopefully work through them, whether it's medicine plus intervention plus therapy, whatever else it is, but we're here, we're alive. Why do you look so terrible? You're not sick. You're alive. You're talking. You're functioning. That's what the king, Daryavesh, said to Nehemiah. So the Orach HaTzaddikim says, at least we should get out of it the fact that if we look upset and depressed, it is apparent, is conspicuous on our face. Now that we've talked about how it looks on our countenance, let's talk about how it is inside of us, our lev. One of the Chachamim said, Eini motze chlal. I do not find at all, but I'm saying nefashas l'alyonos, among the people who are of lofty souls, who work on themselves, who achieve in spirituality, siman da'aga. Any sign of worry? None. Not a trace of it. Sounds extreme, but if you really think about it, it's not. Worry gets us nowhere. Think about times that we've worried. I'm thinking of times that I was worried, that I was anxious. What a waste of energy and emotion. Ada'aga al olam zeh. When a person's worried about this world, lahasig ma'uma, to attain something, to obtain something. It could be money, kabod, imaguna ma'od. It's very disgraceful. It's just really not worth it. It's maguna. It's not worth our while to be worried. The hilo nimseis klal, says the Aruch HaTzaddikim. It is not found at all. It is not present at all, this trait of worry, ba'anoshim habotkim ba'shem. Among people who really trust in Hashem, umaminim bo, and believe in Him. We work on it all the time. This midah of emunah, hada'aga v'hayagon, worry and sorrow, and machalim halev, they destroy the heart. I wonder what that means. They're detrimental to our, obviously, emotional and spiritual health, but even our physical health. V'hem chali haguf, says the Aruch HaTzaddikim. They're an illness of the body. Anybody who knows anything about medicine, and I know just about nothing about it, but we can research a little bit, and of course, ask your physician, they will agree that it is detrimental to a person's health, blood pressure, glucose level, everything, you name it, cholesterol. How many of these symptoms are connected to depression and worry and anxiety? Hadoeg al olam zeh, a person who worries about this world, who rachok ma'od, meaning Torah, is very far away from Torah, says the Aruch HaTzaddikim. That's pretty scary. If I'm worrying about this world, I am far, far away from being connected to Torah, at least at those moments of worry, now mitzvos, and far away from fulfilling Hashem's precepts, batfila, far away from davening. How am I supposed to concentrate on davening if I'm worried? Lachain, therefore, the Aruch HaTzaddikim gives us a word to the wise. Yachush ma'od. A person should be very concerned, should be very focused. V'sakein hamida hazos. To rectify this trait, to work on it. L'hosir osomimenu. To weed it out, to remove it from oneself. V'ein tzorech l'harich b'ra'asa. The Aruch HaTzaddikim says, I don't need to go on and on about it. No need to speak at length about it, of how detrimental it is, how harmful it is. He called hatovos, habos, min hasimcha, because all of the advantages that come from being in a joyous state of mind, hein hipuch badaga, they're the opposite when it comes to worry. And as we've said before, yes, it's the 9 days. Yes, Tisha B'Av. But that doesn't mean that we're in a state of depression. And we've already explained that to a degree. However, says the Aruch HaTzaddikim, sometimes it is beneficial to worry, at least a little bit. Well, where? And I have a story to read to you. Hada'aga mo'eles l'inyan ha-Torah. Worry can be helpful when it comes to Torah. She'yachzer tamid. That a person should be vigilant to review regularly and constantly to do chazara. Ula yishkach. Because perhaps the person will forget. So in order to not forget, I need to be concerned that I might forget, which will inspire me to do chazara, to review. And I'll share a story with you. I have permission from my son, Yaakov, to tell you this story. And even though I don't have newspapers in my house, somebody gave me this page of a newspaper. I think it's the Ated. And there's a person named Rabbi Daniel Travis. He is the brother of Rabbi Travis, who lived in Cincinnati, two great Talmid Chachamim, both Rabbi Travis's. And Rabbi Daniel Travis, so my son Yaakov would go around with him to other Gedolim. And one time they were in the presence of Rav Azriel Auerbach. And the article says the following. The title is called, it's called Finishing Shas. Now, this little story has so much benefit to this Bitachon study that we're engaged in many facets, as we'll see. Said my son, I'm going to do parts of the story. I am a bachur learning in yeshiva in Yerushalayim. I would like a bracha that I will finish Shas. Said Rabbi Azriel Auerbach, I can tell by speaking with you that you are a serious bachur who really wants to grow in Torah and Yiras Shamayim. Therefore, I must tell you that the main goal in Torah learning is not to finish Shas. One more time. I must tell you that the main goal in Torah learning is not to finish Shas, but to learn it well and review many times what you have learned. I'm reading directly from the interview. And that's what the Aruch HaTzaddikim is saying. There is where the daiga comes in, the worry, where it's beneficial. As he says, Yachzor told me the person should review constantly Ula Yishkov. Perhaps the person will forget. Now, without getting into all the intricacies of this, totally depends on the person. Some people need to learn a new Blat Gemara every day. Some people need to learn one Blat Gemara every 6 months, and they learn it really well. Some people are learning Shas Mishnayis. So everybody has what they're learning. They have to have their Das Torah and their guidance and their Tefillah to Hashem that they should have Hadracha, nowhere to go. And also, by the way, I can't resist mentioning that a person has to love himself before he starts loving other people. A person has to be besimcha with himself before he is joyous toward other people. A person has to feel a pleasant emotion toward himself before he's pleasant toward others, including the feeling of inadequacy that many people have, which they have to rid themselves of because they haven't finished Shas, or they haven't become a gadol, or famous, or tzaddik, whatever those words are. The Lutzker Rav speaks at length about this topic. The point is, though, we have to love ourselves really firmly, sincerely, and be well-adjusted. And I heard it from the great Mashkiach. He was one of the Tzaddiki Hador. I heard it from Rav Mordechai Schwab Zatzal. He said it to me. I heard it directly from his mouth, in his presence. He said, you have to be Sameach B'chelko Ruchni. We always think, oh, I have to be happy with what I have. Yeah, that's talking about money and stuff like that, right? It's about ruchnis too. My neshama is also unique. My brain, my intellect, my mental profile, it's also unique. And I am capable of some things and not capable of others. I should not be discontent. I have to be content and satisfied with what Hashem gave me. Of course, try my best. Well, part of it is to learn and to review, which brings us back to this inyan of daiga, the good worry, but not to worry that I'm not good enough. Yes, to be slightly concerned and on edge that maybe I'm going to forget what I learned and therefore I'm going to review it and I will have the satisfaction of knowing it really well. As Rabbi Azriel Auerbach told my son, Gam Hada Agamo LS. Oh, this is one of my favorites. Another benefit of worry. Now we're on the flip side. In the beginning today, we said it's a negative trait. And now look at the positives. That's why it's called a mita. There are measures of it to be used in different times. Hada'agamo Ellis, worry is going to be helpful, le'inyan, for the following reason. De'lo yoriv im adam b'china, kol ro'es hanolad, to not engage in a quarrel, to not get entangled with somebody, with a fight, with a disagreement, for no reason. Anything unnecessary, which is most machlokis, ki yare, because the person should be afraid, and this is a very positive type of worry or apprehension, ken yasi gehu hezek min hamachlokis. Perhaps some harm will come from this fight, from this quarrel, from this disagreement. What is the hezek? Okay, well, there's a simple explanation. Maybe the guy will punch me in the face. Well, not usually is that the primary concern, but I wrote myself a little note here. It's much more common that if a person does not control his or her anger, he or she will say something that he'll regret afterward, and then will need to ask for mechila. So I have a rule that I try to employ, and that is avoid having to ask mechila. So, as my Rosh Hashiva Rabbi Wein said, I think that there was a poster in his Rosh Hashiva's office that said, do not engage mouth until brain is in gear. Now that brain tells us, Hashem gave it to us, that if I say certain things, I'm going to need to ask Mechila before Yom Kippur. So why do it? Don't say it. That's the daiga, that's good daiga, says the Aruch Tzaddikim. I should have enough worry, enough concern, enough sensitivity to not say things that I'll regret later on and that I'll have to try to take back. Well, we know we can't take them back. Like, I'm going to suck the words back. Can't suck the words back. They already made their impression. So this daiga, this is a really wonderful, valuable, precious type of worry. And that's the worry, the dose of worry, of daiga, of concern, that if I say and do certain things, of course, if I do certain things, sometimes if I don't do certain things also because I'm angry, all of that could cause me to regret those actions or that inaction later on. So that daiga I should have. This is what we call striking the balance. I'm at least worried enough that I'm worried that I'm going to hurt someone's feelings. So I will therefore not say certain things. So I can't say that I'm worry-free. No, I will actually activate the midah of daiga for my benefit in ruchnius and toward ben adam machaveiro. My mother, Zichrona Livracha, once said to me, I'm very sensitive. You know, sensitivity runs in the family, extremely sensitive. And she said, I can tell you one thing. It's difficult to live life being very sensitive. The Gemara says, it describes someone like this. Someone who has so much compassion, so super sensitive. But my mother, Zichrona Livracha, she said to me, there's one advantage I can tell you. And that is that I generally would not hurt someone's feelings because I'm so sensitive and I can try to imagine how it would feel to be on the receiving end. So I'm super careful to not hurt people's feelings. So that's what we call this worry that's positive. I'm worried I might hurt the person. What about our spouses, our siblings, our children, our relatives, especially the people we see every day? Those are the people we really have to be concerned about. Concerning other types of positive worry, the Aruch HaSadikim says, the next one is not a positive one. Back to the negative worry. Ach balayla, but at night, yesha'adam kam lilmud, when a person gets up to learn. Now, we all know that in Cincinnati, a good part of the year, when you wake up for Shachwis, it's nighttime. Still, we always joke that it's early enough. Well, it's not really early. It's just dark out. So the Zmanim are like that here, that if anybody didn't daven Ma'ariv, we could have a Ma'ariv Shachwis minyan. There were a few times that I have daven Ma'ariv after I woke up for Shachwis, but before it was time to daven Shachwis because I fell asleep, ma'onis, the night before. So when a person wakes up, balayla, so not necessarily at night, like before we go to sleep. It could be after also, and it's pitch black outside. Each morning when I walk to shul, especially in the winter when the zamanim are really late, it's literally nighttime still, and it's just almost getting time that you can put on talis and tefillin. I walk past a pond, and I think I've told you this before, there is a bullfrog, maybe a family of them. And of course, every day I forget that they live there. And when that frog greets me, I jump, I don't know how high. But that doesn't stop me from coming back the next day. And the Aruch HaSadikim says it should not. It's also really not scary. It's just a little bit surprising. Ach balayla, but at night, kisha'adam kam lilmod, when a person gets up to learn, lo yira, he should not be afraid, me shadim. We will not talk about shadim now, it's a two-hour discussion, but from those creatures, those intangible beings, entities, should not be afraid. Or, as the Rambam and others say, shodadim, the word shadim is like shodadim, robbers. Don't be afraid of criminals, chasr shalom. Don't be afraid of marauding bands and gangs, like in the time of David HaMelech, the Gemara Brachos I'm learning now, talks about the fact that there were Amaleki bands who were present, gangs. You're talking about crime here. In Eretz Yisrael, in the time of David HaMelech, lo yira mishedim, don't be afraid of those goblins, those spooks, the kumo mimitaso, when a person wakes up from his bed. Oh, and now the Aruch HaSadikim tells us, it's okay to look at statistics and probability. It's totally fine. The yachshov, a person should think, hamahokim yachidim balayla, how many people walk alone at night, below hoya lahem hezek. and they suffered no damage. We are allowed to look at that. And we could say, what are the statistics? The Ribbono Shel Olam protects us. As we've seen, as Rav Moshe Feinstein told us, we already learned it. He says it in his Pirush on the Haggadah. Hashem is actively removing the damaging forces from encountering, from bothering us. The Yiftach Bashem Baruch Hu. And the person should trust in Hashem. The Yakum below Yifchad. The Yakum. Once you get up in the morning, below Yifchad, and don't be afraid. There's something that I'm afraid of. And that is, it's the time period between waking up and drinking a cup of coffee. It's frightening, literally. Don't be afraid, he says. Because sometimes people need a little bit of a stimulant in order to be alive, to feel alive. Don't be afraid of that. That's also scary. Don't be afraid of any of it. Lo yifchad. That is a negative worry when we're worried about that. Rav chasid rachok me'iro. Let's say there's a rav. There's a pious person far from his city. Lo yimana me'lelech sham. A person shouldn't hold back from going there. Lilmod. To go learn. Mishum pachad hadurachim. Because of the fear of the trip. Who knows what's going to happen to me? Chasid sham. Kiderach shamar ha'atzel. The way the lazy person said in Mishle Chafez Yud Gimel. Now you might be familiar with the fact that on this pasuk we're about to quote, the Mesilas Yesharim really goes to town with it and explains how the fear doesn't cause laziness. It's the laziness that causes the fear. Ari v'chut. He says there's a lion out there. Besoch rechobos erateach. I will chas v'shalom be killed in the midst of the street. We know that around every 15 to 20 years in Cincinnati, we've had it twice now, a rumor starts that there's a lion or a tiger rolling, you know, chilling like downtown somewhere, on the street somewhere. It's just something, it'll probably happen again in another 15 years. Don't be afraid. Ela yachshav, rather the person should think, sharov ha'olam hochim, most of the people walk, they travel, ve'ein omnizokim, they are not harmed. We can go bus a robe, the majority. Hashem is guarding us. Gamhu kach, he's the same thing with him. Lo yimona mechamat ha-pachad. One shouldn't hold back because of fear. Kishluch mitzvah enam nizokim. Because people sent to do a mitzvah, dispatched for a mitzvah purpose, are not harmed. Sachem dafchetam abez in the Gemara. Sof davar, the bottom line is, the chol da go sav in all of a person's worries. Be gonav. And in all of a person's sorrows, including the sorrow that one feels for the Beis HaMikdash, Yechavin Hashem Shamayim, a person should intend for the sake of heaven. And in Mitzvah Shemayim, we continue next time. It'll be a good postscript for the 9 days. We're not learning next week. We're off next week, but the week after, because we'll learn about the fact that if a person does worry, if a person is gripped with all types of fear and anxiety, one management method is to channel it towards Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have to eradicate, obliterate, and pulverize the Midah. We can take it and harness it and use it for the sake of Hashem. Hashem should help us that it should not be a sad Tisha B'Av. It should only be Kor Alai Moed. It should be a real meeting time with Hashem, conspicuously joyous. And Amir Tzashem will continue a week from next week, which will be 2 weeks from today, Amir Tzashem. Thank you so much for learning with us.